I want to ask you a question. Is the program worth funding? Is it worth you funding?
Yes, sir.
How much do you give before you've given him more than he deserves? How much do you give before you gave more than he gave? How much do you give before you gave more than the Father gave? Why don't we get serious? What if he wants more than just your money? You know, over there in the, remember that woman over there in Mark that had the alabaster box? And some of those Pharisees or crooks said, why was this waste made? Why don't you give that to the poor? There are a lot of good, needful things in this world that might not be worth what God wants you to give his program. I'm not sure what he wants you to give, but I'm sure he wants to have access to all of it. I think I'll say that again. I'm not sure what he wants you to give, but I think he wants to have access to all of it. And I'm not talking about what he's going to give you in faith promise. What do you have that he would like you to give now? You know what the lad gave? What he had. You know what Abraham gave? A son. He gave what he had. You know what God gave? He gave what he had. You know what Barnabas gave? He gave what he had. He sold what he had, converted to money, and gave it. You know, that's pretty tough stuff we're talking about right here. Because we're in a pandemic. Can I tell you this? God, before the world began, planned all this. Amen? And he knew about the hiccup. He said, I think I'll go ahead with my plan anyway. And I'm not making fun of any of that. I mean, my wife and I, we've had it. We had COVID, and we can't give it or get it for 3 months. What if God wants you to give something right now that you have? Is he worth it? You know, and years ago, we were going to build a church building. Jimmy Carter was president. And so we were going to build an 1,800-seat auditorium. It's going to cost a lot of money. We went to the bank to borrow the money. And the banker said, we'll loan you the money. He said, the first $1 million will cost you 21% interest. I said, now, exactly what does that mean in layman's terms? He said, preacher, that means you're going to pay $8,600 a month for 10 years. At the end of that, you're still going to owe us $800,000. Now, I said, sir, I went to God the Lord, by the way. I said, sir, I was born at night, but not last night. I'm not putting God's people under that kind of debt load where we just meet to pay. So I went back to our church and I said, everybody here thinks we ought to build a building, and they all agreed to it. We were in the high cotton. So I said, well, let's just do a little experiment here. And I'm going to give you a 3x5 card. Now I want you to tell me on that card what you can give to this building program or give the use of. Now, don't put your name on the card or you won't be honest. So I gave out the cards, got the cards back. Guess what we had? We had enough already laying around in people's different funds to build that building. And so I said, well, if God wants us to have it and he's already paid for it, will you give it back? Well, things got pretty quiet. I said, where'd you get it at? Oh, God gave it to us. Would he give it to you, give it back to you if you'd give it back to him? Nothing. But they did. So they gave the money, they built the building, and that was the most important decision in our ministry life, preacher, because that gave us money to do missions. And so I'm just saying that I don't know what God wants you to do, but I know one thing, that he can supply, however he chooses to do it. And do you ever notice that there's more promises of giving in the New Testament than there is in the Old, because there's more assignment in the New Testament than there is in the Old? So we had the problem of power, we had the problem of provision, and now let me talk to you about the problem of personnel. Problem of personnel. The Old Testament saint maintained his spirituality through spectatorship. He would take his lamb to the altar, give it to the priest, and he'd watch the priest kill the lamb, and he was all spectator. Can I tell you that we're in the New Testament? And we're not spectators, we're participants. Thank you, Brother King. Everybody has gifts and talents. Everybody has something to contribute to this church so they can do their assignment. So, Brother King, where are we going to get the personnel to evangelize the world? Well, let me show it to you. Go back to Acts chapter 2. And look what it says. Look in verse 15. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing as much a third hour of the day. But this that is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and shall come to pass, and now is here. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your daughters and your shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out of those days of my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, if you just read verse 17, 18, like it should be read, what he's saying is, we're going to expand the workforce. We're going to expand the workforce. Up to this point, the workforce has been one tribe, the Levites, one tribe, and one family, the family of Aaron. And they have carried on our spirituality for us. Now, what's coming is I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Every person in the room has an indwelling Christ now. And so every person in the room will have a lot more and can do a lot more than those Old Testament saints did. You know, if you're going to sit there and do nothing, let's change this name of this church to a synagogue. Thank you, Brother King. Let's change it. Because the synagogues, that's where it took place, but not by the people. They were spectators of what God was doing and what they were doing. And now the Holy Spirit of God is on everybody. Think about that. In the Old Testament, he would come on a man to do a job and leave the man when the job was done. He didn't have an indwelling Christ. I'm now indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. I often pray, Lord, help me have a clean heart so you'll be comfortable in there. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed. See, he's there and he's not leaving. You go ahead and get drunk or cuss or do what you want to do. If you're a Christian, you go... You'd be a sad one, by the way. But if you're a Christian, he's in there with you. Yeah. And he's watching. He's having to experience what you're allowing yourself to go through. Because you have the indwelling Christ. He gave him to us and empowered us by him so we could do our assignment. No group in the world has the equipment we have to do the job. Anyway, so... Yeah, I want you to know that. Isabel Kuntz said this, and I believe this. She said she believes, and I do too, that God calls enough people in every generation to evangelize that generation. Now you think about that. If that be true, two things are true. True. One is we inherited more than we're responsible for. My dad's generation should have evangelized their generation. And on back, see. But forget that. Our generation needs to evangelize, and there's enough people here to do it. There are over 7 billion people on earth right now, and there's enough Christians on earth today called of God to reduce that assignment if we'd be obedient. So what's the problem? The problem must be disobedience. Where's God going to get the people to evangelize the world? The church. So where do missionaries come from? Oh, we have a farm out here. We grow them. No, we don't. They come from blue carpet and blue pews and young men and some not so young. They come from the church. I wonder if everybody in the church is obedient, what the workforce would look like. It might not mean that you go, but it might mean you get really involved in those that do go. We act like if we're not called to go, we're off the hook. Come on. You have as much responsibility to do something for those that do go as those that, if you don't go, you have responsibility for those that do go, and you're as much disobedient in not doing that as they are if they don't go. So what are you doing mentally, daily, in your mind, in your wallet, in your family, what are you doing to help the Great Commission be fulfilled? And I think the problem is far deeper than a 3-day Bible a mission conference can solve. We need revival. We need repentance. We need to understand that. So, let me suggest to you, quit leaving missions up to the missionary. My wife and I, we have 4 kids, and I remember the day our second oldest daughter told us that her and her husband were going to the mission field. She's been in, I think, about 30 years now. Isn't that wonderful some of the time? It's not wonderful at Thanksgiving. It's not wonderful at Christmas. So you're not a very good Christian. I'm very human. I'm a good father. You can't hug a computer. We do Zoom. We do face calls. But we always like to be pre-notified that they're coming because we're not always ready for electronic guests. That has nothing to do with anything. What meaneth this? It's time to get at it. Is it? If you weren't afraid of obedience, what would you be doing? If you weren't in love with creature comforts of America, where would you go? Where would you like to be when the trumpet sounds and you're taken to stand before the Savior who gave His life? I just think it's unthinkable for a church member not to tithe, and unbelievable that he doesn't see himself as part of the Great Commission. Let's pray. Now, Lord, I'd have a hard time believing in this church, not somebody that you're dealing with. About the pagans. You made them, you love them. And you're sending us for them. Lord, some of us have been on a lot of mission fields and scrape off all that cultural trappings, and they're just human beings. They like a good joke, and they cry when their kids are sick. And they're loved by God. And it wouldn't be fair that they didn't know about the love of God. Their God is not a loving God. He's not a graceful God. He's a vengeful God that they're afraid of. But there is one that is a giving God, and we need to get the word to him. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Preacher, God bless you.